Hi, welcome to Lambert Park Church. Our vision is life with God for the world. Our mission is to invite everyone to follow Jesus with us through redemptive community, intentional discipleship, and everyday mission. We're so glad you're here. Stay tuned for the podcast coming right up.
My name is Scott. If I haven't met you, I know some of you, we always have folks that are new with us and slipping in. I want to say a congratulations to university and college students who are done or almost done another semester. Congratulations, you can do it. If you're not done yet, press on and finish well and then enjoy being done. You can do it, okay? You've probably done it before. All right, where am I? All right, as Simon and Rebecca have already mentioned, today marks the second Sunday in Advent, though the first Sunday that we're putting our focus on it, because Ephesians, the first half of Ephesians was too good to rush. Yes? Yes? It was. So we're coming in 1 week late, which is not liturgically wise, but better late than never. But I need to say it again. I feel like this is my sacred task whenever we get to this moment in the year, that despite all the Christmas music and the garlands and the wreaths and the trees and the special lattes and the smells, according to the deepest, truest tradition of the Christian church, we are not yet in the Christmas season. We're in the season of Advent. And please, I hope you don't hear that as a big downer, because it does not need to be. In truth, it isn't. And I hope you'll feel that with me. Because once the heart of Advent grips our heart, I think we'll feel the opposite. Once the heart of Advent grips our heart, I think we'll find our souls breathing in a way that they need to. Honestly, I love Advent. It's a season that appears in the Christian calendar around now every year that comes as a gift that I feel I so need and that I often find is exactly what others need. I felt that at so many turns this week, in the midst of text exchange with friends in challenging, hard, complicated places, running into folks in a shop or wherever this week and recognizing some of them carrying a weight, a complexity that makes the Christmas season feel complicated, to which I found myself saying or texting or wanting to say, "Welcome to Advent, friend. There's room for you here. This is probably what you need." So if you're unfamiliar with Advent, beyond the Christmas countdown calendar stuffed with hopefully some good quality chocolate, or if you just need a reminder, as John Gray said last Sunday, the word Advent comes from a Latin word that simply means arrival or coming. And that is what Advent is about. It's a season of looking back, a season of looking forward to the promised Advent, the coming of God into the world in Jesus to redeem the world, which includes you and me. In Advent, we look back to the first Advent of Christ in the incarnation. That's what most of our songs are about. Most of our carols, when we think of carols, Advent carols, Christmas carols, they are all doing that. They're pointing back to the coming of Jesus, God in the flesh, entering into the human story through his life and his ministry, his teaching, his death, his resurrection, inaugurating God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven and all that that means. But equally so, and this is probably even more so the tradition of the church down through the centuries, though maybe not in the last 50 years, Advent invites us to look forward to the final Advent, the final coming of God in Christ to come in glory and bring the fullness of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. It's why I love Advent, because it invites us to honestly locate ourselves in the in-between, between this Christ's first coming and Christ's second coming, the final fullness of the kingdom. In doing so, we are invited in Advent to the honesty that the moment we're in isn't the end, that the story isn't over, that we have not yet arrived, though our Instagram post might look like we've arrived, or their Instagram post might look like they've arrived. Advent invites us into the honesty of naming that we're not there yet, that we're still waiting for the fullness of God's kingdom. And for this, in these days, we ache. We cry out with the church down through the centuries, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. Yes, Jesus has come, and through faith we can and we do experience his grace in so many ways. There's so many stories in this room of this. And yet we also are living in days, we're living our lives in a broken world with failing bodies and at times complicated relationships and confounding endeavors, which leads some to confess or even cry out amidst all the twinkling lights of the Christmas season, I'm not sure I'm up for doing Christmas this year. Has someone said that to you? Have you said that to someone else? Have you wanted to say that to someone else? Have you written that in your journal? I'm not sure I'm up for doing Christmas this year. Well, if that's you, I have good news for you. Welcome to Advent. A season in the ancient tradition of the church that invites us to be honest about the already and the not yet of the kingdom, of the gospel, of life with Jesus. A season in the deep tradition of the church, a tradition older than Christmas trees and Christmas lights and Canada Post challenges and seasonal lattes. A season in the deep tradition of the church that invites us to confess that life right now, in some way or maybe in many ways, is not the way it's supposed to be. And to cry out together for Jesus. O come, Emmanuel. For ourselves, for the person beside us, for a nation across the world. Honestly, church tradition, liturgy, all things liturgical get a bad rap in some places. And maybe sometimes for good reason. But it's in moments, in its best moments, Christian liturgy, including the liturgical calendar, which is just a Greek word that means the work of the people coming together, Christian liturgy is nothing less than the wonderful gift of the church down through the ages, reaching out his hand to us across the generations and inviting us to walk together down a path that we need to walk. That's what church liturgy is at its best. And I'll confess, I'm someone who sometimes feels like I need someone to come and take my hand, right? We all have seasons, moments in our journey as Christians, whether you're young Christians, new Christians, seasoned Christians, where we feel like we need to pray and we don't know what to pray. That's the gift of Christian liturgy. The church, the wisdom of the ages, reaches across the generations and says, come, let's walk this road together. Let me give you words. Let me invite you into a path that you need, a path marked by grace and peace, honesty and hope. Our spiritual ancestors, our elder brothers and sisters, our grandparents, the grandparents of our grandparents, reaching across the ages saying, welcome to Advent. Which is not how I felt on Tuesday morning. Monday's my Sabbath. My week has a weird arc. It ends somewhere after this, though today I'm doing a wedding, so it ends after that. And then Monday I stop, and I breathe, and I jump in the ocean. We'll talk about that another day. And then Tuesdays, I start the week again. Tuesday morning, I felt, okay, Ephesians Part one is done. Now, all things Christmas need to get figured out. Oh man, I felt overwhelmed. Anyone else feel overwhelmed this week when you look ahead at what you haven't planned? Many of you know this has been a complicated year for me personally, having to take a 3-month medical leave in May due to what my doctor deemed severe burnout, which obviously wasn't utterly out of nowhere. It was something that was quietly accumulating in me over an extended season of inward discouragements, bouts of depression, unattended wounds, my mom being diagnosed with ALS, many things. Some of which I'm still working through, though from a better place than I was. But for any pastor, Christmas and Advent can bring a lot. I had a text from a friend, a pastor in another part of the country about 2 weeks ago, who just said, I am so paralyzed with fear about having to plan another Christmas Eve service. And that's just life, right? You look ahead, these moments of big expectation, and sometimes expectation just crushes us. We can feel it. I'm sure we've all felt it at times. I felt that a little bit on Tuesday morning. It was one of those mornings where I really didn't really want to get out of bed, face the day. But as I did, because you do, I sat to wrap my head around all the planning. Not that nothing was planned, friends. But as I sat to sit with and revisit the invitation of Advent, feeling anxious, I found my heart settling, and I found myself so thankful, actually, that we're in Advent. Thankful for the gift and the honesty of this ancient practice. So I wanted us to distill it. Advent, the invitation of Advent, invites us to honestly confess two things. One, the truth of what is right now. But also the truth that what is not what will always be because of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. Advent is an invitation to honestly confess the truth of what is, but also the truth that because of Jesus, what is not what will always be. If you have a Bible, I'd love it for you to open with me to Isaiah chapter 61. And if you don't own a Bible, if you're new to all of this, just outside the door, there's a bookshelf, and any Bible on there you can just take, keep, call it a gift. It says at the top, books to buy, but if it's a Bible, just take it. And I think the second shelf are just all old books too, so those are also just enjoy books. I loaded them up recently. So if it has a price tag on it, that probably means it needs to be acquired. If it doesn't, enjoy. Anyways, Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 4. Let me read this for us. I'm reading from the NIV. Your version might be slightly different, but familiar. The prophet Isaiah says, "The Spirit of the Lord, of the sovereign Lord, is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release for darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If you're familiar with Jesus in the Gospels, you know this passage, right? This is the very text of Isaiah that Jesus himself in Luke chapter 4 reads to the synagogue crowd and declares, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." But in the flow of Isaiah, this is a prophecy that is spoken by the prophet into a very hard place, a very hard season, a dark season. You hear it in the passage itself, even though it arcs toward joy and all the overturning, it names people who are experiencing brokenheartedness, captives who need to be set free, prisoners who need release from darkness, people grieving, ashes, mourning, spirit of despair, debt, paralyzing debt, an ancient city in ruins, a much-loved people and land devastated for generations. And into this, God speaks through the prophet Isaiah the promise of a great reversal, the promise of great restoration. But let's not brush past the hard things that are named here. Isaiah, our Advent prophet, invites us to be honest about what is, about the hard places, the heavy things that we carry. So I just want to ask you explicitly, where do you feel brokenhearted in these days? Where do you feel captive, prisoner in darkness, grieving, covered in ashes, mourning, a faint spirit of despair, paralyzing debts, whether maybe financial or of the soul, with God or in relationship with another. Things you've invested so much in that right now feel like ruins. Advent invites us to not hide these with a mug, but to be honest, to stand in this season with honesty that all is not Insta. All is not good and perfect and amazing. But as we've already said, it also invites us to honestly confess that because of Jesus, what is not what will always be. As Eugene Peterson notes, Isaiah announces this by his repeated use of a single word, a powerful adverb, instead. I love the instead in this text. It shows up 3 times. It's actually just in one verse, verse 3, each announcing another depth of this great reversal, the great restoration that God will one day bring in Jesus, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And notice how each of these experiences encompass both outward and inward realities, visible and invisible realities, stuff that others see and stuff that people only feel from inside of you, visible like ashes on the head versus a crown of beauty, or the deeper inner things that spill out of the heart, a faint spirit in mourning versus a heart of praise that erupts in joy. And Isaiah's repeated use of this instead invites us to hear the whole of the passage as the hope of Advent, a promise spoken into the dark place, a promise that meets us, that finds us in the dark, which is how I felt on Tuesday morning as I sat with Advent. Advent came and found me. That though things in the present are not all as they are supposed to be, things are not. Things will not always be as they are. What is today because of Jesus is not what will always be. Knowing the mercy and kindness of God, Advent invites us into the hope of a great reversal. The hope of God's character and God's promise that Jesus will one day exchange our ashes and give us beauty, a crown of beauty. That Jesus will one day take our mourning and give us joy. That Jesus will one day remove our faint hearts and breathe upon us a garment of praise. Which is what we see happening in the first advent of Jesus, is it not? You don't even have to be a Christian to know this. This is what the history books outside of the Bible say of Jesus. In the first century, Jewish historians spoke of Jesus as a man through whom God did wonders. That's what the history books say, but the Gospels give us the details. And as we read the details, we discover Isaiah 61 happening in Jesus wherever he goes, right before our eyes, in and through his words and his works. Wherever he went, the brokenhearted were put back together. Captives were set free. The blind receive sight. A grieving mom receives back her son. Debts are forgiven. Shame is cast off. Prodigals return home and are embraced and welcomed by others, celebrated. Outcasts are enfolded into families. The crown of beauty in place of ashes. That's what we see. The oil of joy in place of mourning. A garment of praise in place of a spirit of despair. All because Jesus has come. And this is the hope that Advent invites us to live in the dark places of our lives, to live in hope that Jesus will come again to exchange our ashes for beauty, our mourning for joy, our faint hearts for a garment of praise. And so I want to teach you a song. Matthew, you're going to help me for a second? Some of you might have heard this song. I learned this song this summer. Is it on there? No. Oh, there you go. We're so tech savvy. This song has been in my mind all week long as I've been stepping into Advent. It's a song that my parents introduced me to this summer when we spent some time together. It's a song that has become a means of grace for my parents as they are grappling with the grief and complexities of my mom's journey with ALS. She's about 2.5 years into it, but we've only known about it for a year. It says on the screen, the song is called Faithful Still. And if you Google Faithful Still, King's Porch, oh my goodness, it's the most beautiful video of a community of friends, young and old, in a big, fancy, Instagram-worthy living room singing this song. So beautiful. And this song has become a means of Advent grace for me. Every time I sing it or listen to it, I am pulled into the honesty of what is and the honest confession that what is will not always be because of Jesus. And so I'll sing it for us. If you know it, you can join in a bit. If you catch it and your heart just feels like I gotta say it, you can say it, or you can just let it wash over you. Whoa, there's a bit of fanciness happening there. When my heart is racing deep inside my chest, when I'm underneath the weight of anxiousness, when my fear is raging, I can't catch my breath, I will remember. Let's sing that with me if you want, or hear it again. When my heart is racing deep inside my chest, when I'm underneath the weight of anxiousness, when my fear is raging, I can't catch my breath, I will remember you are faithful still. You have carried me through deeper waters, walk beside me through the fire. Mouths of bigger lions, conquered even greater giants, gone before me, and you always will. You are faithful still. You are faithful still. God, you saw this long before I ever knew. And your peace is waiting here to see me through. My deliverance is only found in you. So I will surrender. You are faithful still. You have carried me through deeper waters. Walk beside mouths of bigger lions, conquered even greater giants, gone before me, and you always will. You are faithful still. I have a hope, I have a future, I'm a child of the mountain. I have a hope, I have a future, I'm a child of the mountain mover. Sing that again. I have a hope, I have a future, I'm a child of the mountain mover. Jesus,
child of the mountain. You are faithful. You are faithful still. You have carried me through deeper waters. Walk beside me through the fire. Faithful still. You have closed the mouths of deeper life. Conquered even greater giants. Gone before me, and you always will. You are faithful still. You are faithful still.
I was texting a friend earlier this week who's experienced some unexpected pain of late. And I'm sure these words, in many ways, would describe his experience. When my heart is racing deep inside my chest. When I'm underneath the weight of anxiousness. When my fear is raging, I can't catch my breath. We didn't get into it, but I suspect the fact that it's the Christmas season makes it feel harder. A hard season to feel like you're in a hard season. Unless that season is Advent. Because this is Advent. There's room for the honesty of what is in Advent. And there's hope that is thrown upon us, washes up on our shore when we stand in Advent. So welcome, friends. Welcome to a season that the church wants for you, that Jesus gives us. Let's pray. Let's invite you to speak your own response, and then I'll lead us. Living God, thank you for the grace of your Spirit in the story of the church, in the midst of many failures that can be named, many ways the church has not always told your story well. This Advent feels like something we've been passed on that's a gift. Even these candles, unlit, and one lit up before us, naming that there's darkness that needs a light, and it's you. And they're not all lit, we're waiting. We're waiting for you, and you are with us in the waiting by your Spirit. So we ask God in your mercy that you would lead us into the places where we can be honest, where we need to be honest with you and with others maybe. And we ask that you would whisper, shout, pour out the hope of your character and your promise that is sufficient for us. And one day will be the fullness for us.